The beauty of a shorted transformer, when the transformer is not one-to-one relationship between its two coils, but is different, it truly is more than anything a step-down transformer, because you get this creation of current that comes seemingly from nowhere, but it's not coming from nowhere. It's coming from the magnetic field between the two coils, in which the voltage is appearing on the larger of the two coils and being converted into current into the smaller of the two coils. And if it's the smaller of the two coils in which you feed your circuit or your shorted transformer a paucity of voltage, let's say 2.5 volts or less, you would think it's a step-up transformer, but because it's a shorted transformer, it's for the most part a step-down transformer, because whatever voltage ends up on the larger of the two coils ends up there because there's greater impedance and there's also greater resistance, and that impedance and resistance becomes an additional contributing factor of impedance and resistance. Maybe it may not be resistance, it may be impedance that's being increased, probably, but something of a resistive nature is actually becoming increased when that larger of the two coils is becoming energized and reacting. And that additional impedance helps push things in a greater direction of greater impedance on the larger of the two coils. And this means you get a greater amassing of voltage. Now, it probably plateaus at some point and doesn't go any further, but still, you're getting all this voltage buildup, and that's a golden opportunity for the transformer to transfer, or convert, I should say, some of that voltage into current and dump it onto the smaller of the two coils. But the smaller of the two coils is where you're feeding this thing in the first place, but very little voltage, because you're not trying to regulate the overreactance out of existence. You're not trying to suppress it. You're not trying to sit on somebody's chest and prevent them from inhaling. You know, that's what we do when we feed our circuits. The full amount of voltage that we calculate is required by the load plus a little extra to cover our losses. We literally are sitting on the chest of the circuit so that the circuit cannot breathe. It cannot inhale. It cannot take a breath. All it can do is exhale. And because it's always perennially exhaling, because we're giving it the maximum amount of voltage from outside itself to run itself, we set up a condition in which it's like spoiling a child who never learns to work for themselves and earn their own living. And the poor circuit has no choice but to depend on us exclusively, depend on our external source of voltage for all of its needs for power. So it's a circular argument to say that energy in equals energy out, and Kirchhoff's law, you know, proves and validates conservation of energy. It's not bullshit, it's just a circular argument. That's the problem with it. It feeds on itself and vindicates itself from itself, and so nobody bothers to break out of that closed loop, because that's the style of thinking they think about. They think about circuits in terms of closed loops instead of open loops, which is much more provocative. But likewise, their mind works the same way in a very redundant manner, and they never break out of that redundancy to discover free energy, because they don't think they can discover it. That's a shame. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy waiting to be grown out of. Anyway, so we have this shorted transformer, and it's not a equal one-to-one transformer. It's although conventional wisdom would analyze and say, oh, it's a step up because you're feeding the small coil, not the larger one, so the small one is your primary. But the benefit of overunity is coming from the primary and being delivered back to the secondary. So I guess it is a step up transformer. But it's the feedback, because it's shorted, that runs the thing. And that's what Pavel discovered when he did his experiment. The larger of the two coils created negative current. It wasn't a whole lot, but it piled it, because it was negative, it piled it up onto the other smaller coil that got all of the voltage. It was exhibiting all the voltage when it should be on the larger coil. You should have the larger quantity of voltage. Go figure. That must be why when I did my variation of Pavel's experiment 4 years ago before I ran into Pavel, it's a shorted transformer, and it's not one-to-one. It's unequal by a very large degree, but I went further. I didn't just leave it at that. I didn't just leave it at, okay, 1 henry for the large coil and 100 nanohenries for the smaller coil. I doubled each one. So now it's like a split transformer, like a center tap transformer on both sides, because you've got two large coils and two small ones. The two large ones on one side, the two small ones on the other side. And each pair of coil is shorted to its other of that pair. And but they are segregated in the sense that I put an impedance between them. I put a 10 nano farad capacitor and a resistor of various sizes, usually in the kilo range, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 kilo ohms of resistance, depending on how I wanted to balance, you know, the VI relationship. But it's a very interesting circuit because I put a little sine wave generator feeding each... No, actually, I don't double the small coils. No, I double the main, the large coil. So the large coil is doubled and is forks together. It comes together before it goes through the singular capacitor in series with the singular resistor. But then they fan out like a figure eight shaped transformer core. They both fan out in two directions, electrically speaking, to the small coil legs of this circuit that are in parallel with this large coil Y branch. And the two legs of the two small coils are individual small coils. Each one is on and its own individual leg and is being fed by its own sine wave generator, which I imagine should be a sine wave generator fed by a solar panel, but it has to be capable of withstanding high levels of current, because it's going to have a humongous amount of current dumped in its area. And I can't tell whether or not it really is coming from the larger coil, or whether or not it's coming from this simulation of a voltage source. You would think it would show up in the virtual oscilloscope tracings, that you could tell the difference. And if that's the case, then it looks like the current really is coming from the voltage sources. But how can it? How can 2.6 volts deliver over 200 amperes? It doesn't make any sense. Unless we think that it's reverse current, that the circuit has somehow created reverse current and is drawing it out of, pulling it out of there, but not directly, because there's no inverted current anywhere that I can see. All I see is that the more impedance and the more resistance I put on the Y branch of the two 1 henry inductors, the more gain I have for power. And it's mostly in the voltage range, and so then I have to readjust the resistor to maintain the kind of balance between voltage and current that I want to maintain throughout the system. The voltage is going to pile up on the large coils, the current is going to pile up on the small coils, but I want a certain balance. And they are magnetically coupled, and so I want a certain balance between them, considering that I want a certain balance within the magnetic field that is being shared between them. And then there's a short. So not only are these three coils shorted to each, well, these three sets of coils, these four coils shorted to each other, but I have an additional short that does a loop-de-loop between the two ends of these four parallel coils. I have a fifth leg, well, fourth because the Y branch is really just one leg. But I have an additional wire that shorts out the two ends of these parallel coils. And it's just a piece of wire. And if I want to bring down the current but keep the same voltage, then I just put a little resistor there. You know, if you're trying to regulate an EV and you want to bring down the current because you don't want to accelerate into traffic or up a hill, you just want to cruise at freeway speed because you've already got the car moving, then that's what I found can be done. You can put in a resistor there on that true short, the self short to all of the coils, that reduces the current flow, but in a way that doesn't kill the overunity. You know, sometimes when you put things in the wrong places, the overunity just dies suddenly, completely. But this way you get to regulate it by using what size resistor on that particular short. So I'll show you a schematic. I won't give you this recording without a schematic. But I am just so blown away that it's so much like Pavel that now I can appreciate what I've done. I used to think it was a motor transformer. So I was so convinced that I would be able to get it to rotate. But as Jim Murray says, he never got an assisting torque from a shorted motor. So you can't really call it a motor because you're not going to get any torque to cause it to rotate against a load. If you just make it free spinning, you know, it'll spin itself, and it'll spin itself to oblivion because it'll keep spinning faster and faster. But the minute you give it any load, it kills the overunity right away. Well, you can't really call that overunity, can you? But it is electrical overunity, not torque, not mechanical overunity. Unless you make your rotating body the main coils. Or maybe you bring in a fifth, but see, when I found that when I brought in any complications, the thing would literally blow up and could not regulate itself. So you have to keep your changes to a minimum to keep everything stable, or else it will fry it. It'll destroy itself. So I think what could be done is simply use it as a generator, creating a field. But I tried that. I tried it with a small coil. Yeah. The extra coil that was not electrically connected to the system, but simply connected to itself, was a tiny coil. Very, you know, low inductance. Similar to, you know, the current coils, you know, the side of the transformer, you know, like 100 nanohenries. But if I made it larger, maybe it wouldn't spin out, maybe it wouldn't destroy itself. That would be something to test. You know, how do you make use of all this strong field? Because, you know, I'm looking at the measurements, but if it can't handle a mechanical load, then it stands to reason it won't handle an electrical load. So it won't matter. There may be no way around this. It may, you know, exhibit all this power, but you can't use it. That may be the problem. So I need to play with it some more and see if I can use it.